The devil lay in the distance. He's in your six. I sold my soul years ago so I could be rich. Yesterday seems so far away. My back against the bricks and the devil in your six. The devil in your six. With the devil in your six.
Talking Shop fans, welcome back, baby. We are live in a city that is yet to be named.
Yet to be named. TBA. It's like the undercard. It's always TBA. No refunds on Talking Shop, though. Doesn't matter who's promised, as you know.
So I've been reading a lot about Talking Shop. What people, the excitement for the comeback. What people thought of it. What people want from it. And I realized I saw a couple of different emails and a couple of different messages about people saying that we only catered to the Talking Shop faithfuls.
Yeah, that's true.
And so the.
Which is time to broaden our horizons.
But what I'm getting at is it wasn't very good.
According to who? Not the Talking Shop faithful.
Well, sure, but the Talking Shop faithful is a very minute group.
I don't know. I had a great time with them.
Agreed. But I think
if you're drawing a line in the sand here, I'm on the other side, pal.
Because I'm not. I love the Talking Shop faithful.
I know. I'm kidding.
It's my thing is when everyone was getting hammered and blacked out.
Who was? You were?
No, not me. Never.
Not us. The
guys
guests.
Guys like Hawkins.
Yeah, and Heath.
Heath, always.
All
Heath.
The Keith guys. Raines. All those FKA WWE guys.
Not us. We kept our names.
We kept our names.
Gallows and Anderson.
Yes, Sons of Guns. This is a clean podcast now. I hope you're ready.
Gallows and Anderson from all over the place. And when we first came to WWE in 2016, Seth Rollins goes, I can't believe you Sons of Guns got to keep your names.
We said, holy Toledo, pal. We sure did.
And think about it. Of all people. Once again, who changed the game?
Us.
Who doesn't get the credit for doing anything?
Us.
who doesn't get the credit for blowing the roof off the Barclays Center?
Blowing the roof off? Us. We'll get to that. I was laughing because I have a closet in my house, and I'm not going to be braggadocious, but it's a separate closet from our master closet.
You have a master closet? What's the other closet?
I've been in your master closet, pal.
This isn't about me. Okay. You're the one bragging.
Your master closet's bigger than my bedroom.
You're the one bragging. So you get the master closet.
I'm not bragging.
Closet.
I'm What's saying I have other? A separate closet for my work clothes. Like a guy hangs up his construction uniform, whatever. I have a master closet for my work clothes. And in there, I have a bunch of suits. I'm kind of like Elvis, except not at all. But I have these suits that I wore from Impact in New Japan. They all say Doc Gallows on them, which we own. I own.
You see a man hangs up his construction uniform?
Yeah, of course he does. Why wouldn't he? A construction worker, yeah. A construction executive? Any man in construction wants to hang his clothes, right? Yeah. He's not like me where you get to a town and you just turn the shower on hot, leave it on for 7 hours and hope that they steam out the wrinkles.
The construction man hangs up his construction clothes every night.
Of course he does. Yeah, well, he has them in an area of his home.
Well, of course.
In his domicile.
What about a cement truck man?
Well, he does the same thing. He has to wash all the cement off outside. He doesn't want his wife to be angry with him. Nobody likes that.
See, once again, we're catering to the Talking Shop faithful only.
We're catering to the construction audience, a new portion of our audience.
I agree, but the wrestling fans, people like...
What do they want to hear about?
They don't want to hear about this at all.
Okay, fine. What do you guys think about Austin Theory? I think he's a great up-and-coming talent. I think he's got superstar written all over him.
That's
wrestled
perfect.
John Cena at WrestleMania. I didn't train him, but he used to come to the Good Brothers Dojo, work out with the kids. It was awesome.
There
See, that's
go.
Wrestling
See,
talk.
Wrestling
now, let's
talk.
Get back to the construction stuff.
Let's get right to a couple things.
Well, Style. I know you want to talk about how you double-crossed New Japan. I know you want to talk about your exit from Impact Wrestling, but let's start out and go backwards. Let's start out with...
Start where you want to start, Hoot.
I want to start with our return, our comeback, our re-debut in the Barclays Center.
October 10th, 2022.
Now, we've talked about this at length privately, but tell me and tell the fans how you felt and how you think it was received. Because we know how we feel, but I think it's good to say it.
Well, it was a pretty surreal day
because
we, you know, like we've said a couple of times, we didn't think that we were, you know, I think we kind of thought WWE was in the rearview mirror.
I think we kind of thought that after our exit and you know, some of our content and some of the things we were doing that we weren't going to be welcomed back with open arms, but we were, and it was great.
Yeah, business was business, and we moved on, and we worked it all out, and we I think we made one of the greatest returns of all time.
Well,
and you could look back and you can
see
people
will debate that, and I've seen some really great returns.
Now, barring like a stone cold return,
sure,
or something.
But if you go back and watch it and you listen, it's really hard to Chris app on that.
Go to YouTube and look. Gallows and Anderson return October the 10th.
It may be available on Peacock, which WWE content.
Possibly, but go to YouTube. Yes, that could be great too.
Wonderful.
Or there's a lot of fans that do reactions. Gallows and Anderson return October the 10th, and just watch their reactions live at home. That was a great day in New York that day.
You know, sure
was. Let's remember, if we can think back, except because our memories are, we're not doing well with our memories, I'm realizing.
We need some ginkgo biloba.
It's just that there's so much going on and everything happens so fast in our business and in our world, in our families, in our lives, that we got flown into Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah. We did, and then we got on the bus of our uncle.
We jumped on AJ Styles' bus.
Alan
after the
Jones.
So the deal had been signed.
We two L's, one E.
We had agreed to come back. We're going to do the October the 10th in Barclays in New York City. A little known fact. We almost debuted in Edmonton.
Oh, wow. And we were actually
in Canada the couple weeks before that.
Yeah, we were happy that logistically and with what was going on and prior commitments that it didn't work out. Not because we don't like Edmonton. We had a great time in Edmonton, but we knew that the New York faithful would give it to us.
Yeah,
and I think Edmonton would have given it to us as well. But New York's a hot place to make a comeback. We've been lucky with two WWE debuts together. First being Staples Center in Los Angeles, and then the return in the Barclays Center in New York City. WWE Staples, but kind of old school Bullet Club Staples. Like maybe you call it a smarter audience. I don't know, but
yeah,
they always are welcoming and give us a lot of love. And we love that.
This would be a good clickbait as well. We were doing a FaceTime with our boss at the time with Triple H, yeah. Gallows,
the game.
Anderson, King AJ Kings. Styles, and we were figuring out what we were going to do. This would have probably been in September.
Yeah.
And maybe August, I don't know, but yeah, end of August, whatever it was. But we'd almost basically decided on AJ Styles coming over and helping me win that match versus Tanahashi. And then the very next night would have been Monday.
So Raw. We had to travel and get to Raw, which would have been.
And that would have got us to Edmonton for a re-debut.
But we would have not made it.
We wouldn't have made it, yes.
Was the logistically, that would have never. That would have been awesome.
But that was almost, what almost happened. But then...
Yeah. That was an awesome... That whole few weeks were so exciting. Getting on the Zoom with him and talking about the return and everything and the way everything had played out. And then, you know, him wanting us to come back immediately when we were free and clear of whatever agreements that we had, and then the way that we were able to come in and re-debut and just rock it. But that's a fun part to talk about, man. There's been a lot of internet talk about that. There's been a lot of shiznit going on with you and New Japan and Rocky, who I fired today.
Sorry, Rock.
For broadcast. You'll as a broadcast him. Journalist, he's still on salary.
Well, he's still our friend, but... We're talking about the salary thing. The salary thing, I'm not sure about.
Let's cut his pay.
Did we even explain that day, though? Because we flew into Washington, D.C. AJ picks us up the night before in his bus.
Yes.
We drive overnight to New York City. We go to a kayfabe hotel.
Oh, but hold on. Let me add details to this as I'm cutting you off. I want your perspective of it. But there's a great part of this story where we pull into like a travel station off the turnpike or whatever in the bus. And the bus driver at the time, who has moved on to work with a band when AJ was out, said, y'all stay on the bus, man. I don't want anybody to find out that you guys are doing this. But there was a fan who saw the Phenomenal logo on the side of the bus, and he spotted the machine gun and myself inside. And leaked that we're on AJ's bus and we're headed for New York City. So that was like... You can't make that up.
Yeah.
We were trying to do the right thing. We didn't even go in for our own beef sticks.
That's what always kind of surprised us is I think we always forgot that we were still famous, you know?
I never did.
Well, Until we realized we were famous.
Come over to my little town. You'll feel as famous as
every week
can be.
Well, I guess I knew too, but I mean, I was just I was trying to be kind of humble.
You're not humble. You wear sunglasses in the airport.
With that's because it's bright.
The lights are bright, huh, bud? That got you a little.
But yeah. That's a whole other thing. We can go into that when we talk.
That's a fun one because we got unwarranted heat for that.
Unjust
heat.
We get to Barclays and we go into the back. We get to see everybody, which was pretty nuts.
Well, you don't know. I mean, there's always trepidation with that, like.
Been a long time since I've seen a lot of those people.
Full honesty, this is my third go round walking back in there, and you're like, I don't know.
Your third comeback.
This is going to be weird. How weird is this? How's it going to be received and all that? But it was cool. It's a good feeling walking back in.
They hit us in Bruce Pritchard's office, so we're basically best friends with Bruce Pritchard at this point.
I'm going to call him after this podcast, see if he wants to go out for a grilled cod sandwich or something.
I don't think Bruce would mind it.
He would love it.
A nice cold brewski and a grilled cod sandwich.
Yeah.
Except for he's just too busy right now for all that.
Yeah, he's got to control the WWF. It's tough, WWE.
So that was your second huge re-debut. I mean, mm-hmm. You had a couple of other insane ones, but those were the best ones.
Oh, those are the best ones, of course. Yeah, I mean, you can't discount that. My dad and I were talking about that. 10 years ago, I thought maybe I would get out of wrestling.
Yeah.
After TNA, and I didn't know if New Japan would work out. That was actually the birth of a career, was that. That's pretty cool.
Well, since you wanted to work backwards, I guess that leads up to where our Impact contract was finishing up all at the same time. Our Impact contract we signed from July of 2020 until July of 2022.
Thanks, Scotty D.
That was two great years. We learned a lot.
I was going to say tumultuous, but that's like sounds like it's sultry. I just wanted to say the word.
Well, it was tumultuous.
It wasn't tumultuous. It was fun.
Personally. Well, that's a whole different thing. Professionally, but it taught us a lot, and it got us to it. And I was, you know, we say it now. We're glad we left. We're glad we left. We're glad we went there. We're glad we came back.
I would say that we're pretty positive brothers. I think we find a positive in every move that we ever make. And we never leave a door fully closed, which we've proven with this return, which we thought was the one we would never make. So it's cool.
Yep. I look back on my Impact memories as very, very fond. I know that our contract ended in July, and we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. We were almost dead set on re-signing a brand new contract for multiple years with Impact.
And we were made a very generous offer, too, which...
It's great.
It's appreciated.
Scott, I love that we put that there, of course.
Scott has put you over, buddy. I'll see you next week for dinner at ATL, baby.
Yeah, well, and Scott did. It was great. And we almost re-signed it. But then it was just this personal thing that we needed to do. We just wanted to do a couple of really big shows that in Japan.
Yeah. And they were conflicting with some of Scott's dates. And as a boss, I got Scott's point. Yep. Even being a little promoter on my level, you understand that, you know, if the guys can't make the shows you need them for, then it doesn't necessarily work. So there was never a personal grievance. There was a business separation there where we wanted to make these shows, and they ended up falling on big pay-per-view dates for them. So
we basically said,
can we have a break for a few months and let's revisit it? And during that, go ahead and fill it in.
Well, actually, we re-upped with Impact for another month.
We didn't want to leave anybody, you know, hanging out in the wind.
Came in, put some boys over.
It's really hard for me to talk without cussing like we used to do. So I'm just using new expressions.
Just talk normal.
I don't know.
Well, you know, we actually got to put over the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yes, we did. That was awesome.
And the Briscoes.
But, oh, man.
Rest in peace to the Hoot.
Oh, rest in peace, Jay.
And that was it. And then so at that moment, we decided around at the end of August, this is actually something I don't think we've talked about often, but. The last day of our Impact contract finished, and that night we got a text from our big new boss.
The game.
Out of nowhere, it said, hey, would you guys want to chat?
We said, okay.
We almost signed a new multi-year deal there.
I love Impact. I want to do good. Yep.
Hope everybody there is doing great
and
doing well. And
I hope that Brian Myers enjoys his trip to Australia.
I miss them. Well. How was your return to New Japan? You know, that happened. Let's, you know, people, we, that's.
Before we do that, I want to go back in time for just a second because that's a huge thing for us to go into, and we're going to go off in a million different ways. Talk about for me, because the match isn't as memorable, but something that we got to do with our near, you know, we didn't spend as much time with the Briscoes as everybody else, but I think getting to know them, I just knew they were full, complete brothers to the max. But one of my fondest impact memories over the 2 years were when we were shooting that stuff and doing that angle with them to set up the match. And we go down to Delaware, down to Sandy Fork, and out of the gate, we're kind of going, ah, it's an off day. And then we got to land and drive 2.5 hours. And man, but they're cool, but wow, we should be at home. And by the time we pulled into that driveway and we got out of the rental car,
we were glad.
And that was
there.
One of the most fun things that I've ever done in pro wrestling, and I'll always remember that fondly. It was a blast.
The Talking Shop fans, the real faithful, will know that we kept saying we'd do a Brody Lee tribute, and we just
couldn't because it was too sad, man.
We're not good at doing those, and nobody
wants to hear me cry. I can barely talk normally.
Yeah, we probably never will do the tributes, but we'll just say we don't do well with those kind of things.
Yeah, because we'll start bawling our eyes out.
Yeah, but no. We look it up on, you can look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, when the Good Brothers invaded the Briscoes chicken farm is one of my favorite pro wrestling things we ever did.
Look up the Good Brothers and the Briscoe brothers on the chicken farm.
And Mark and Jay's dad are a big part of it. It's great.
And Gallo's chasing around the one lone chicken that was left.
Before Mark got to him.
We asked Mark about 3 months later, or we asked both of them a couple months later when we wrestled them.
What happened with that chicken?
So how about that one chicken that lasted? He said, I had to dispatch of it.
Hey, man. It's not easy in the chicken business.
No,
we love you, Mark. We miss you, Jay.
Yep. Rest in peace, good brother. Now let's talk as we basically wind down a little bit.
Wine?
Are we coming back?
No, for sure we are. That was a great answer, right? No.
Next week?
No. For sure we'll come back
in 3 months?
Hey, here's something we should do. Hashtag ask talking shop the dirt. You want a question? I don't know if we're going to answer it next week.
Yeah, no.
Or in a week, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, or a month. But Carl and I will screenshot them, then we'll dig for them for months when it's time to do it, and we will answer.
Yeah, dude, we just...
Ask away.
Real quick, before we go, though, I do want to talk about this. Not quickly. Take as much time as you want on this.
Want to talk about Nails the Convict?
No. The interview I did... the interview that I did after...
Bright Lights?
Yes, when Bright Lights Machine Gun came about. And how much...
I want to comment on that a little bit.
And how much it triggered people and why.
It triggered people because...
So explain what it was. So if you probably can find it on YouTube as well.
You can definitely find it on YouTube.
Just look up YouTube, Bright Lights Machine Gun.
After a match in Japan, we come back.
Nails in a match.
New Bullet Club guys.
I just won the title.
We had won the never open title.
Yes.
And we had, and I think people thought because we're on Impact TV weekly, and I think some people in Impact thought, and I think some other people thought, but we're us. We're talking to each other all the time. And I'm sitting on the plane in first class, and he's eating giant shrimp and having a wine. And I'm telling him, I think we should do this great angle at Lariato, which is my Georgia Independent, which I love. But I think...
Tell them where to find it. The LPWG. What is it?
I don't even know right now. Look it up on Instagram. Lariato Pro. Big show coming in August.
Yeah, of course.
Double cage. Anyway.
Double cage?
And don't worry about that. We'll get to it. A lot of stipulations coming. A lot of don't say that word. A lot of stipulations coming. But I was talking to him about that, and we were laughing about me trying to push this big angle on him. And then he gets out of the ring. He's the never open weight champion. We're so excited. We're talking. I'm playing the role of the big heater. He's putting himself over. He's a heel in Japan. He says, when the lights are bright and there's not 200 people, something to that effect. Boom, he turns it on. He has this 5-star match. He wins the title, which he did do. And basically the internet, some of our coworkers and some fans thought that we were digging on a company, which we would have never done because it was a company that was taking great care of us. They were using us good and we're friends with the boss. It was just something for people to grab and say those SOBs, all they talk about is being famous and rich and all these things. But guys, you know, part of this is fictitious and part of it's portraying a character and part of it is making you be engaged. So we were kind of like, whoa, they think we hate where we work. We loved where we worked. We still love those boys. Talk to them all the time and girls. But it was taken way out of context, and like then we started getting that weird like real serious
hate.
Like, screw you guys, hate, because they thought that we were just ungrateful bastards, and we're not.
And people always, and you're gonna get hate. That's fine, especially when you're in the limelight.
Like, everybody hates me. It's fine. That's part of.
Yeah, part of. So after that, I had a match with Tanahashi.
Right.
A couple months later. And the only comments about that, and the comments are comments.
It you're actually matter, reading a lot of comments, bud.
But I'm being, but then now it just turns. Is everyone saying is how bad that match was, and then how bad another match was?
Well, you put a target on your back with that because they're all want saying, you to be targeted. Oh, these guys.
They're all saying how boring and how mailed in it is, and I'm going, geez. But they're saying Anderson is not working hard. He's not tracing.
That was the part that pissed us off because
he's trying not to work hard. I'm going, do you, and my only thought was, these people have to be kidding. Do they think I walk in and
you have to understand
and
that.
I run the show with Tanahashi?
You know, hey, Tanahashi, this is what we're going to do. You know, I'm going to take it real slow. No, Tanahashi is someone you look up to and respect, and we all do throughout the industry. Read Tanahashi's book and see what he thinks of you.
And so the guys, exactly.
You're one of the greatest workers who ever walked.
Yeah, you should Google that. Yeah, take that.
It's
yeah,
true. Man, I'm a good clickbait guy for you, huh?
You sure are. So I didn't hold the NEVER open weight title hostage. I didn't mail in matches. I was kidding, guys.
Well, can we talk about a funny thing? He didn't do any of that. He was a consummate professional. He did his job. And the only thing I was sad about was I couldn't go to Japan with him when he went back. But one of the funniest things that happened over that run was we've had a little bit of a history of misplacing things.
So, somebody asked me that question.
So there's a time in Japan when you come out for a title defense and you have a very different looking title. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, we just worked the marks, didn't we? And on that set, lead us out with a song.
Oh, he's a grizzled young vet. He's a grizzled young vet. He's worked so many towns that sometimes he forgets. It doesn't matter if he's curtain jerking or the main event or what belt he wears to the ring in Tokyo tonight. He's a grizzled young vet. He's a grizzled young vet. He's worked so many towns that sometimes he forgets.
Hashtag Talking Shop Podcast. Keep singing, Hoop.
Hashtag Talking Shop. Ask Talking Shop the dirt. Ask Talking Shop.
I guess ask Talking Shop the dirt.
Or don't. Do whatever you want anyway.
Yes.
The house was so packed that he thought it would blow. Cause he had a ton of color down in Puerto Rico. He's a grizzled young vet. He's a grizzled young vet. He's worked so many towns that sometimes he forgets. A lot of these verses are so clean I can't sing them. Let's get out of here before they bang them.
The WWE version of Anderson and Gallows will be back, hopefully weekly. Look for us. Send us out, Fink.
It's been really fun listening to you a-hole. Put yourselves over and lie. But there's a special place for me at a golden throne, so I'm going to return to heaven. See you later.
Put on me.
That wasn't me.